Okay, I think we can begin our study for today, little children. It's January 18th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 2048 hours Eastern Standard Time. I guess it's just called Eastern Time these days, but that's the time right now. And our study is going to be interesting today, I believe. It's quite interesting with the prophecy in Ezekiel. And even that in Revelation as well is remarkable, as well as the remarkable events in 2 Kings chapter 2 with the chariot of Elisha descending into the heavens in a windstorm. So it's going to be exciting, I think. Now, the Crucible article, we have a very short paragraph today. It's chapter 5, paragraph 3 in C cubed, or Crucible of Credible Creed. And it says, or I should say, Ward Green with you again for the study. Whilst Thutmose II ruled Egypt after the death of Thutmose I, or after the Exodus, in the crucible of what we believe for a chronology, as we've already discussed, he accomplished little, did Thutmose II, and was made pharaoh only because of a firstborn son, that is, of Thutmose I, who had died. It is possible that Hatshepsut co-ruled with Thutmose II, and it is said that she took the throne when he died, for the reason that Pharaoh Thutmose III remained at a rather tender age. Thutmose III, of course, being the son of Thutmose II, but too young to rule at the death of his father. With Thutmose III beginning sole rule in 1469 BCE, which was about 21 years after the death of his father, a total of nearly 25 years had elapsed from the time that Thutmose I, his grandfather, drowned in the Red Sea until the full rule of his grandson, Thutmose III, that is. So nearly 25 years from the death of Thutmose I, who we believe drowned in the Red Sea based on our chronology and based on the Bible, of course. And those nearly 25 years were from that point of the drowning in the Red Sea of Thutmose I until the full rule of the grandson of Thutmose I, who was Thutmose III. That's all for today's study there, except we've got this mortuary temple picture. Hatshepsut's mortuary temple is here, the large one, and the ruins of Thutmose III's mortuary temple in the lower left somewhere. I believe it's this area. And the mortuary temple of someone else is there on the lower right. It's meant to Hotep II's temple on the right there, meant to Hotep. Okay, these are at Deir el-Bahri near Luxor. Luxor is the modern-day name of Thebes, and Thebes is the place near which the Valley of the Kings is located in Egypt, where the pharaohs are typically all buried. Most of them, or all of them, are buried there, or their mummies are found there. Their tombs are located in that area. So, we've got an interesting study today. Today's proverb, little children, is Proverbs 15 and 3. The eyes of Jehovah are in every place, keeping watch upon the bad ones and the good ones. That may be a surprise to some people to hear that for the first time. I think it was for me, first time I ever heard it. 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came about that when Jehovah was to take Elijah in a windstorm up to the heavens, Elijah and Elisha proceeded to go from Gilgal. And Elijah began to say to Elisha, "Sit here, please, because Jehovah himself has sent me clear to Bethel." Elisha was going to be, of course, the successor to Elijah. But Elisha said, as Jehovah is living and as your soul is living, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you really know that today Jehovah is taking your master from headship over you? At this he said, I too well know it. Be silent. Elijah now said to him, Elisha, sit here, please, because Jehovah himself has sent me to Jericho. We mentioned King Eglon, who is described at Judges chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, as having taken the city of palm trees, which is the name that's commonly associated with Jericho. So that's why we believe Eglon conquered Jericho while Israel was inhabiting it after they'd conquered it in 1452 BCE. And Eglon's rule of Israel in an oppressive way from Jericho lasted until 66 years after the conquest of 1452, and which was therefore 1386, 66 years after 1452. But as Elijah said to Elisha, Jehovah sent me to Jericho, you know, wait here. Elisha said, as Jehovah is living and as your soul is living, I will not leave you. So they came on to Jericho. Then the sons of the prophets, this is Elisha's day, long after 1386 BCE, of course. So the thing is, the graves at Jericho that contained the scarabs, it was the graves associated with the area around the palace, I believe. If I recall correctly, and that's why we believe the scarabs are likely to have been deposited in the graves during the time Eglon was ruling from Jericho. So it makes logical sense, but I don't remember the details of all the research I did yet. I'm eager to go back and redo some of that research, but or see what else has been discovered. But that's what I did when I published the article, ever since the article has been in existence, the Crucible article. So they came on to Jericho. Then the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you really know that today Jehovah is taking your master from headship over you? At this he said, I too well know it. Be silent. Elijah now said to him, sit here, please, because Jehovah himself has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as Jehovah is living and as your soul is living, I will not leave you. So both of them went on. And there were 50 men of the sons of the prophets that went and kept standing in view at a distance. But as for both of them, they stood by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his official garment and wrapped it up and struck the waters, and gradually they were divided this way and that way, so that both of them went across on the dry ground. A miracle occurred. Evidently, this is what makes the Bible the Word of God. There are miracles recorded in it, and it's also believed to be very historically accurate, as we might see today in our study. For example, the book of Ezekiel is what we're going to be talking about, which has a prophecy very significantly fulfilled. And it came about that as soon as they had gone across, Elijah himself said to Elisha, ask what I should do for you before I am taken from you. To this Elisha said, please, that two parts in your spirit may come to me. At that he said, you have asked a difficult thing. If you see me when taken from you, it will happen to you that way. But if you do not, it will not happen. And it came about that as they were walking along, speaking as they walked, why, look, a fiery war chariot and fiery horses, and they proceeded to make a separation between them both. So if you thought that the striking of the water and the parting of the waters was an unbelievable miracle, here's another unbelievable miracle, maybe even more unbelievable. The fiery war chariot and fiery horses appeared, and they proceeded to make a separation between them both, and Elijah went ascending in the windstorm to the heavens. This is a famous story of Scripture about Elijah, where he ascends in the windstorm in his chariot. This fiery chariot, All the while, Elisha was seeing it, and he was crying out, my father, the war chariot of Israel and his horsemen. And he did not see him anymore. Consequently, he took hold of his own garments and ripped them into two pieces. After that, he picked up the official garment of Elijah that had fallen off him and went back and stood by the shore of the Jordan. Then he took the official garment of Elijah that had fallen off him and struck the waters and said, where is Jehovah, the God of Elijah, even he? When he struck the waters, then they were gradually divided this way and that way so that Elisha went across. When the sons of the prophets saw another miracle of parting the waters, when the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho saw him some way off, they began to say, the spirit of Elijah has settled down upon Elisha. Accordingly, they came to meet him and bowed down to him to the earth, and they went on to say to him, hear now, there are with your servants 50 men, valiant persons. Let them go, please, to look for your master. It may be that the spirit of Jehovah has lifted him up and then thrown him upon one of the mountains or in one of the valleys. But he said, you must not send them. And they kept urging him until he was embarrassed, so that he said, send. They now sent 50 men, and they kept looking for 3 days, but they did not find him. When they returned to him, he was dwelling in Jericho. Then he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? In time, the men of the city said to Elisha, hear now, the situation of the city is good, just as my master is seeing, but the water is bad, and the land is causing miscarriages. Interesting, because yesterday's proverb was about one prematurely born who died before ever having seen or done anything. At that, he said, fetch me a small new bowl and put salt in it. So they fetched it for him. Then he went on out to the source of the water and threw salt in it and said, this is what Jehovah has said. I do make this water healthful. No more will death or any causing of miscarriages result from it. And the water continues, healed down to this day, according to Elisha's word that he spoke. Another miracle, the healing of waters. And he proceeded to go up from there to Bethel. As he was going up on the way, there were small boys that came out from the city and began to jeer him, and that kept saying to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. Finally, he turned behind him and saw them and called down evil upon them in the name of Jehovah. Then two she-bears came out from the woods and went tearing to pieces 42 children of their number. And he kept going from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. It's interesting that there's another miracle, right? The she-bears that came out of the woods. But he kept going and returned to Samaria. It's interesting that there were men of God, even in this ungodly place with these corrupt kings ruling Israel from Samaria. So that's another thing of seeming interest, isn't it? So we've read 2 Kings. Let's look at Ezekiel 26. It's marvelous. And it came about in the 11th year, Ezekiel writes, on the first day of the month. We know the 11th year of their exile. It's the same year in the 5th month when Jerusalem is taken, captured. And on the first day of the month, it was that the word of Jehovah occurred to me, saying, son of man, for the reason that Tyre has set against Jerusalem, aha, she has been broken, the doors of the peoples. The trend will certainly be to me. I shall be filled. She has been devastated. And looking at the study version, it says, everything will come my way, and I will become rich now that she is devastated. And Byington, that version says, it has come round to me. I shall be filled out of the devastation. Therefore, verse 3, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Here I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up against you many nations, just as the sea brings up its waves, and they will certainly bring the walls of Tyre to ruin and tear down her towers. And I will scrape her dust away from her and make her a shining, bare surface of a crag. A drying yard for dragnets is what she will become in the midst of the sea. For I myself have spoken, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah, and she must become an object of plunder for the nations, and her dependent towns that are in the field, by the sword they will be killed, and people will have to know that I am Jehovah. For this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Here I am bringing against Tyre Nebuchadrezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar as he's also called, the king of Babylon, from the north, a king of kings with horses and war chariots and cavalrymen, and a congregation, even a multitudinous people. Your dependent towns in the field, he will kill even with the sword, and he must make against you a siege wall and throw up against you a siege rampart and raise up against you a large shield, and the strike of his attack engine he will direct against your walls, and your towers he will pull down with his swords. Now, Nebuchadnezzar did actually come up against Jerusalem, as we're going to read. But also, Clark said that it was 5 years that the siege of against Tyre occurred, and it's going to be able to be calculated. We're going to be able to calculate that, interestingly, as being consistent with there having been a 13-year siege of Tyre, and with the capture of Tyre having occurred in the 27th. The 27th year of the exile, according to the book of Ezekiel. I'm trying to remember where I read that today. I'm trying to remember where it was about the capture of Tyre in the book of Ezekiel. Was it in 29, maybe? Because that's where, in Ezekiel 29 is another place where it's important. I think it is, because here it is, the 27th year, verse 17, in the first month, on the first day of the month. The conquest has already occurred. Nebuchadnezzar has conquered Tyre. He's also called Nebuchadrezzar. And he performed a great service against Tyre, it says in verse 18. But as for wages, there proved to be none for him, it says in that same verse. Interestingly, well, if that occurred in the 27th year, first of all, the 13-year siege, we'd have to subtract 13, we'd get 14. 14th year of the exile, which is 3 years after the 11th year, which was the year when Jerusalem was destroyed, the 11th year of the exile. So, but the fact that the siege on Jerusalem was a year and a half long and started in January, which was actually part of the previous year that began in the spring in the ancient calendars, means you could add 2 years to the three and get 5 years, which is what Clark had said regarding the siege on Tyre having been 5 years after the siege on Jerusalem. So it looks very, very good as far as what Clark said also, just for interest there. Back to Ezekiel 26 again. It's fascinating that this prophecy came true, but there's more to this, much more. Actually, it's got much more of interest here. Her dependent towns, they will fall, right? They will be, with the sword, they will be killed, so on. War chariots of Nebuchadnezzar. I want to say Nebuchadnezzar because that's the way we typically say his name nowadays. Nebuchadnezzar. The siege rampart, right? And the attack engine. Owing to the heaving mass of his horses, their dust will cover you. Verse 10. Owing to the sound of cavalrymen and wheel and war chariot, your walls will rock when he comes in through your gates, as in the cases of entering into a city opened by breaches. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample down all your streets. Your people he will kill, even with the sword, and to the earth your own pillars of strength will go down, and they will certainly spoil your resources and plunder your sales goods, and tear down your walls, and your desirable houses they will pull down, and your stones and your woodwork and your dust they will place in the very midst of the sea, or the water. And I notice, it's interesting here, I want to note here, very importantly, this part was not fulfilled by Nebuchadnezzar, but by Alexander the Great, you know, a couple hundred years later, in 332 BCE, when Alexander conquered the city of Tyre, he conquered the island city, and he did it by throwing the dust of the mainland city into the water. He threw all the stones and gravel and everything he could find from the mainland city into the water, so he built a causeway to the island of Tyre, and that's how he defeated the island city of Tyre, did Alexander the Great. And that causeway is still there today, in the city of Tyre today. And I will cause, it's been made bigger over the years by the deposition of silt and so on from the sea, and I will cause the turmoil of your singing to cease, and the very sound of your harps will be heard no more. Verse 14, and I will make you a shining bare surface of a crag. A drying yard for dragnets is what you will become. Never will you be rebuilt, for I myself, Jehovah, have spoken, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord, Jehovah. This is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said to Tyre. At the sound of your downfall, when the fatally wounded one groans, when there is a killing with slaughter in the midst of you, will not the islands rock? And down from their thrones all the chieftains of the sea will certainly come and remove their sleeveless coats, and they will strip off their own embroidered garments. It's similar to what happens in the book of Revelation with the sea captains. We're going to see that in this today's study. They will put on trembling spells upon the earth. They will sit down, and they will certainly tremble every moment and stare in amazement at you, because they were, of course, benefited by the existence of the city of Tyre. And they must raise up over you a dirge and say to you, how you have perished that used to be inhabited from the seas, O praised city, who became a strong one in the sea, she and those inhabiting her, those who gave their terror to all the inhabitants of the earth. Now, the islands will tremble in the day of your downfall, and the islands that are in the sea must be disturbed owing to your going out. Right, so they're saying that the people of Tyre were making the world, the whole world, tremble because of their praise that they received in the city of Tyre. It sounds like that's what's being said there. For this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. When I make you a devastated city like the cities that are actually not inhabited, when I bring up over you the watery deep and the vast waters will have covered you, I will also bring you down with those going down into the pit to the people of long ago, and I will cause you to dwell in the lowest land, like places devastated for a long time, with those going down into the pit in order that you may not be inhabited. And I will put decoration in the land of those alive. Sudden terrors are what I shall make you, and you will not be, and you will be sought for. But you will no more be found to time indefinite, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. Well, in the medieval times, in the Middle Ages, I should say, or sometime in that time period, Tyre was a very tiny city, according to Wikipedia. So this is true, what it said about those cities that are actually not inhabited, or those going down into the pit to the people of long ago, like places devastated for a long time. Tyre was devastated for a long time. Actually did come true, that prophecy. But I want to read something about that. But first, I want to read from a book called Life, How Did It Get Here? By Evolution or by Creation. That book, called The Creation Book, has a chapter about the city of Tyre. Talks about the prophecies. But first, we need to do a reading of Revelation in case we don't have time. Otherwise, after these things, I saw another angel descending from heaven with great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory, and he cried out with a strong voice. This is John writing his vision that he received from the angel as delivered to the angel by Christ Jesus. And he cried out with a strong voice, saying, she has fallen, Babylon the Great has fallen, and she has become a dwelling place of demons and a lurking place of every unclean exhalation, and a lurking place of every unclean and hated bird. For because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, all the nations have fallen victim, and the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the traveling merchants of the earth became rich due to the power of her shameless luxury. And I heard another voice out of heaven say, get out of her, my people. We talked about the obscenity of luxury and wealth associated with the Catholic Church. If you do not want to share with her in her sins, and if you do not want to receive part of her plagues, for her sins have massed together clear up to heaven. And God has called her acts of injustice to mind. Render to her even as she herself rendered, and do to her twice as much. Yes, twice the number of the things she did. In the cup in which she put a mixture, put twice as much of the mixture for her, to the extent that she glorified herself and lived in shameless luxury. To that extent, give her torment and mourning, for in her heart she keeps saying, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and I shall never see mourning. That is why in one day her plagues will come, death and mourning and famine, and she will be completely burned with fire, because Jehovah God who judged her is strong. I remember saying to one brother years ago, I said, to the extent that someone carries on the faithful feeding of Christians, then to that extent, I tried to say it, but the brother denied that it was true. But I said, to that extent, that person is the faithful and discreet slave. If they are giving the spiritual food to the spiritually hungry at the appropriate time. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication with her, this Babylon the Great, and lived in shameless luxury, the kings of the earth did, will weep and beat themselves in grief over her when they look at the smoke from the burning of her while they stand at a distance because of their fear of her torment, and say, too bad, you great city Babylon, you strong city, because in 1 hour your judgment has arrived. Also, the traveling merchants of the earth are weeping and mourning over her because there is no one to buy their full stock anymore, a full stock of gold and silver and precious stone and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and everything in scented wood and every sort of ivory object and every sort of object out of most precious wood and of copper and of iron and of marble, also cinnamon and Indian spice and incense and perfumed oil and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and coaches and slaves and human souls. Of course, none of those things are bad in themselves. In fact, they're all good things. It's just that when they're used and purchased in excess and, you know, used as a showy display of, you know, obscene wealth and corruption, then it's not a good thing then. Yes, the fine fruit that your soul desired has departed from you, and all the dainty things and the gorgeous things have perished from you. Never again will people find them. The traveling merchants of these things, who became rich from her. So we talked, it said the kings of the earth, and then the traveling merchants were mentioned, verse 11. And now verse 15, the traveling merchants again of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of their fear of her torment and will weep and mourn, saying, too bad, the great city clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and richly adorned with gold ornament and precious stone and pearl, because in 1 hour such great riches have been devastated, and every ship captain and every man that voyages anywhere and sailors and all those who make a living by the sea stood at a distance. Remember the book of Ezekiel in the chapter 26 that we just read? And cried out as they looked at the smoke from the burning of her and said, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust upon their heads and cried out, weeping and mourning, and said, too bad, the great city in which all those having boats at sea became rich by reason of her costliness, because in 1 hour she has been devastated. Be glad over her, O heaven, also you holy ones and you apostles and you prophets, because God has judicially exacted punishment for you from her. And a strong angel lifted up a stone like a great millstone and hurled it into the sea, saying, thus with a swift pitch will Babylon, the great city, be hurled down, and she will never be found again. And the sound of singers who accompany themselves on the harp, and of musicians and of flautists and of trumpeters will never be heard in you again, and no craftsman of any trade will ever be found in you again, and no sound of a millstone will ever be heard in you again. And no light of a lamp will ever shine in you again, and no voice of a bridegroom and of a bride will ever be heard in you again, because your traveling merchants were the top-ranking men of the earth, for by your spiritistic practice all the nations were misled. Yes, in her was found the blood of prophets and of holy ones and of all those who have been slaughtered on the earth. Blood guilty. The word spiritistic is an interesting word. It has to do with pharmakoi or pharmakia, the Greek word which means druggery, sorcery, but drugs. So it's implying here, pharmaceutical companies are what's being implied here, which is fascinating. So the use of drugs is not approved. We see from the book of Revelation, chapter 18, again, we see it elsewhere in Revelation in that book too. And we've talked about it before. But we have time? Oh my goodness, we've got a little bit of time, just enough maybe. If we look at this book on JW.org, right here in the book, the Bible is not the name of the book. It's Life, How Did It Get Here by Evolution or by Creation? That's the name of the book. It's under Books and Brochures on the JW.org site. The Bible, is it really inspired by God? That's the chapter 18. Interesting, it's chapter 18 because that's what we're reading in Revelation today. And it's the 18th of January, too. So all those things. But it says, as foretold, Nebuchadnezzar did later overthrow mainland Tyre, the Encyclopedia Britannica, reporting a 13-year siege by Nebuchadrezzar. After the siege, it was reported that he took no spoils. As for wages, there proved to be none for him. Why not? Because part of Tyre was on an island across a narrow channel. Most of Tyre's treasures had been transferred from the mainland to that island part of the city, which was not destroyed. And then paragraph 5, but Nebuchadnezzar's conquest did not scrape Tyre's dust away from her, quoting from Ezekiel, and make her a shining bare surface, as Ezekiel had foretold. Nor was Zechariah's prophecy fulfilled, which said that Tyre would be pitched into the sea, at least not in Nebuchadnezzar's day. That was from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 4. Were these prophecies inaccurate? Not at all. Over 250 years after Ezekiel's prophecy, and nearly 200 years after Zechariah's, those numbers are probably different, slightly different in our chronology anyway. We've got to be aware of that. It's possibly different. Ezekiel, what's our chronology say about Ezekiel? I'm trying to think. Yeah, it would be different by 20 years lower in our chronology. Tyre was totally destroyed by Greek armies under Alexander the Great in 332 BCE, with the debris, in quote, of the mainland portion of the city, explains the Encyclopedia Americana. He built a huge causeway in 332 to join the island to the mainland. He pitched the land into the sea, fulfilling Zechariah 9 and 4. After a seven-month siege, according to Encyclopedia Americana, he captured and destroyed Tyre. That's the end of our study for today. I hope you enjoyed it. It's January 18th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 21:21 hours Eastern Standard Time. In my behalf, this is Dusty, one of my beautiful automatic watches. And this is Cassie, my electronic watch, saying bye for now.